the event of any important news developments, the sponsor will interrupt this program.
Indeed. The thrift shop is open. This is DJ Frederick on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. On the Radio Thrift Shop, we dig 78s, cassettes, 45s, 33s, homemade CDs, and unexplored musical treasures. We're keeping the real in Reel to Reel. Going to start the program off today with some library music. It's a segment called The Thrift Shop Library, and it's all production music that was recorded for use in various films, television, radio, stage productions, commercials, you name it. But it's actually some pretty cool stuff. So we're going to start off with one of my favorite library musicians and composers, Roger Webb. Thank you. The Thrift Shop Library Set. That was the Roger Webb Sound with the Moonbird from 1971. Before that, Barbara Moore and Drifting. Spinning Wheel with the Rustic Fence. Bernard Estardi with Super Angois. And we started that set off with Roger Webb, Heavy Lace. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. And I'd like to say hello to folks out in Pine Cone Land, out in California. Hello to Peter and everybody listening on Pine Cone Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Every show I like to do something new or play something new, and we're going to play a few new things this week. One of them is a 45 lathe cut record by a band called Blind Slime. It's an EP called West by God, and it's available on Earstroke Records. And it comes with a wonderful little mini zine of photography that's very creative and just very surreal. So, sometimes I have a tough time getting lathe cuts to play properly on this turntable. We're going to give it a shot. This is Blind Slime from their 7-inch lathe cut EP called West by God.
Choose my love.
beautiful 7-inch vinyl single by the Trembling Blue Stars. That was Now That There's Nothing in the Way. Before that, the Family Times Band from their privately released LP. That was What Shall We Do? Started that set off with a lathe cut 7-inch single. Only 40 copies were pressed of that record, so I was lucky to get one. Band called Blind Slime and Full Moon Afternoon from their EP, West by God, on Earstroke Records. Probably play some more of that in upcoming shows because there's 4 songs on the EP. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. I'd like to open the Thrift Shop mailbag. I've got a note from E.A. Roy, who lives in Newcastle in England. It says, "Hello, Frederick. It is Sunday night in Newcastle-upon-Tyne, and I've just read Hiroshima Yeah number 100, which features some intriguing lines about your fanzines." That's nice. "I'd like very much to read them. I'm sending you a little purzine I made last November, as well as a photography zine, a collective project, and the latest EP by B. Belinska, released on my Bedroom Record label. Perhaps you will like some of it, I hope." Well, E. Roy sent me a wonderful homemade CD called The Fugitive by B. Belinska, recorded on a homemade CD record label called EAR Records from Newcastle-upon-Tyne in England. And I'm going to play 3 tracks from this, which was released in spring of 2013. This is B. Belinska, The Fugitive. Oh, Some indie folk beauty from a group called The Sleeping Years. That was released back in 2009 on 7-inch vinyl. A song called Into Sunlight. And before that, we heard a homemade CD by B. Belinska on the EAR Records label from Newcastle upon Tyne in the UK. The EP is called The Fugitive, and we heard the tracks Broadcast Heather, Wartime Arizona, Wild Strawberries, Island Cove, Watch of Death, and The Eternal Retour. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. And every so often I time travel with a show called That Was the Year. We're going to time travel now back to 1902.
That was the year. Recreating notable events of passing time. Reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world. Thank you.
1902. That was the year.
That on the last Sunday in February, two women, one holding an infant in her arms, wandered wearily up the narrow cobble streets of the Macedonian village of Strumica. 6 months before, these same women, American missionary Ellen Stone and her Bulgarian companion, Madame Tsilka, had been riding from Miss Stone's Bible school in Bansko, Bojuma, 12 hours away. Accompanied by six students, four teachers, and several servants on foot, the two women found traveling slow, uneventful, monotonous, until...
Why, Miss Stone, look! Those men riding toward us!
Yes. Yes, I see them. They're in Turkish dress.
But they're masked!
Yes. Yes, I see. Stop, everybody! Wait till these men pass.
Yes. I wonder who they are.
Your money! Where's your money?
What money? Now, don't worry, everybody. And don't try to defy them. Give them all the money you have. No life is worth any amount of money. Here you are. Here's my money.
Yeah, that's good. Now we want you.
Oh, me? You want me?
Yes. We know who you are. You're worth much money. Come. You too.
Oh, no.
No, you cannot take her. She is my wife.
Go back, you. We want horse, too. You. Get off horse.
No. There will be no way. Now,
you women, come with us. Sound them!
Nearly 6 months from September 5, 1901 to February 23 the next year, Ellen Stone and Madame Tsilka were held captives by the Turkish brigands. After payment of a ransom of $72,500, they were released at Strumica, ungreeted, unwelcomed, for none knew where they might be freed. The missionary made her identity known to local officials, and she and her companion were soon on their way to Salonika.
1902, that was the year.
During the first few days of May, the people on the island of Martinique, a French colony in the West Indies, were terrorized by repeated minor eruptions of the volcano Mont Pelee. The rumblings were ominous, foreboding. On the 2nd and 3rd of May, a heavy eruption shook the earth, destroyed sugar plantations. 150 lives were lost. Frantic terror seized the inhabitants of Martinique, until a few days later, when news reached the town of Saint-Pierre, that an eruption had occurred elsewhere than the original crater, and the pressure had been relieved. So, lulled into false security, the inhabitants of Martinique went about their business. Only now and then did they cast apprehensive glances at the ominous clouds of smoke hanging above the crater. Then, in a cafe in the town of Saint-Pierre, on May 8th...
What was that?
Heli! Heli! The eruption! Look! The flame! The flame! We've been cut off!
Oh, we've been cut off! Coming down the side of Pelee!
Without warning, the volcano spewed forth death in a mushroom of flame that engulfed the entire city. The terrible blast was followed by molten lava, then by deadly poison gases that caught those who escaped the white-hot mud. The searing dust blinded, choked. Escape by sea was cut off because every ship in the harbor had been destroyed by the flame. All but one. The Rodham, which had put out to sea just in time. Then the eruption ceased, and the once exotic town of Saint-Pierre was a gray, smoking ruin. Days later, the grim toll was read.
We have estimated the material losses at $20 million, but an even grimmer estimate must be made, that of the dead whose number we can only guess, 40,000.
That was the year.
Pretoria, South Africa, May 31. A document containing terms of surrender was signed here this evening at 10:30 o'clock by all the Boer representatives, as well as by Lord Milner and myself. Signed, Kitchener.
This was the formal announcement to the British government of the final cessation of the South African War, begun in 1899, pursued throughout more than two bitter years, with a loss of 5,774 British soldiers and 4,000 Boers.
1902. That was the year.
Paris, France, September 30. A stoutish bearded man and his wife slumber fitfully in a great Louis XIII bed. The doors to the room are locked. All windows are shut tightly, barred. A small fire still glows in the hearth, for this fall night is crisp and chilly. The eyes of the man flutter open.
Alexandrine. Alexandrine.
Oh, please, do not get up, Emil. Go back to sleep.
I do not feel well. Alexandrine. Emil.
No, please. Please, Emil. Go back to sleep.
No. No, I must get up. Look, the dog. The dog is ill, too.
The next morning, servants failing to hear the accustomed sound of bathwater running behind the locked doors, call...
Monsieur! Monsieur! Madame! Are you awake? Still no answer. No sound.
Oh, something is wrong. I know it. Jacques, we must break open that door.
Yes, Pierre, help me. Oh, mon Dieu. Oh!
Thus did they find Émile Zola and his wife, the great novelist, dead. Alexandrine Zola, overcome, senseless from carbon monoxide asphyxiation. Thus died Émile Zola. Zola, who had startled the nation with his daring novels. Zola, who had become the hero of the world through his untiring, courageous work in behalf of the persecuted Albert Dreyfus. Zola, who had endured ignominious exile in England for a cause in which he believed. Zola, who had suffered the slights of the French Academy only to be more endeared in the hearts of his people. Zola, of whom his colleague in letters, Anatole France, spoke in his eulogy.
We must not be sorrowful for him simply because he suffered. Rather, we must envy him. Yes, envy him. Envy him for his destiny of greatness. He was a passing moment in the conscience of humanity.
1902, that was the year.
That for the first time in 65 years, the British Empire witnessed the gorgeous pageantry of a coronation. Following the death of his mother, Queen Victoria, in December of the preceding year, a 61-year-old firstborn, Prince Edward, was preparing for the imposing ceremony on June 26th. But on the 24th day of that month...
The coronation will have to be postponed. An operation upon the king is imperative.
Are you sure?
I have just concluded my examination. He is suffering from peritonitis. Delay would be dangerous.
These ominous words reached the British people. Anxiously, they waited for news. Then it came. The operation performed by Sir Frederick Treves was successful. Edward's progress was so rapid that the coronation was set for August 9. And on that day, amid all the regal splendor and tradition of the English court, in Westminster Abbey, Edward in a few moments to be Edward VII, King of Great Britain and Ireland, and of the British dominions beyond the seas, Emperor of India, spoke these words.
I, Edward VII, do solemnly and sincerely in the presence of God, testify and declare that I am a faithful Protestant, and that I will follow to the true intent of the enactments which secure the Protestant succession to the throne, uphold and maintain the third enactment to the best of my powers according to the law.
With impressive dignity, the Archbishop of Canterbury took the crown and laid it on the altar and asked the blessings of God upon the king. The king was seated in King Edward's chair. Assisted by the other bishops, the Archbishop placed the glittering crown of empire upon the bowed head of Edward VII. At precisely the same moment, the peers of the realm and the kings of arms placed their coronets on their heads. And the women, followed by the men in a single voice, proclaimed,
Long live the king! Long live the king! Long live the king!
Thus, after almost a full lifetime of service to the Empire as Prince of Wales, Edward became king, to remain on the throne only 8 years.
1902, that was the year...
that a 3-4 song, usually associated with the 90s, first made its permanent impression upon the consciousness of a waltzing world.
In the good old summertime,
in the good old
she's your tootsie wootsie.
my hokey from school
in the good old summertime. You were playing Ring the Rosie with Jim, Kate, and Josie. Good old summertime.
Happy days full of pleasure, we now fondly treasure,
when we never thought it a crime to go stealing cherries with Faith Brown and Mary.
One good old summertime. In the good old summertime.
In the good old summertime.
Strolling through the shady lanes with your baby mine.
You hold her hand and she holds yours, and that's a very good sign
that she's your Tootsie Wootsie
in the good old.
Well, that was the year 1902. Proof positive that the Radio Shift Thrift Shop is also a time machine. Anyways, thanks for listening. This is DJ Frederick. Going to close up the shop for another week. But thank you. Remember, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.